Well, today I would like to read a few verses from Deuteronomy once again, and it will be chapter 29, a few verses towards the end of this chapter. It says that in verse 27, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, and in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children for ever, that we may do all the words of this law." Today I'm just really sharing with you the words of verse 29, which come to us as, I guess, a type of summary, a conclusion of all of these things. Does it make really for sort of encouraging reading or happy reading when you read Deuteronomy chapter 29 towards the end? We read really about a commentary, a reflection upon the people and the reasoning as to why the Lord dealt with his people in chastening and correcting because of their sins. Verse 26, they went and served other gods and worshipped them. And you have these very tragic statements. They worshipped them gods whom they knew not. And remember, this is always at their very core and heart of idolatry, whether we view it in terms of what was there in the Old Testament or idolatry in any sense of the word, is that we're going after that which we don't know, that we have no true affection for, that which hasn't won our heart. It's a straying and abandoning of God who has done all things well for us. It says in verse 26, whom he had not given unto them. So this was the heart of their sin, this idolatry. And so then the anger of the Lord was stirred against the land to bring upon all the curses. So again, you see how this is a summary. This is an evaluation of all things. The Lord roots them out of their land. It's a sort of a reflection upon the past, even to the very present, where it speaks about even as it is this day. So verse 29 then comes in this sort of this territory of gloom and despair when you think of the sin of the people and the Lord dealing thus with them and justly, we might say. But there is this final thought at the end of verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Now, I think the two things are closely related, as we shall see in a moment. But then notice what it goes on to say. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So it's a reminder, not just for the people then going forward, but also looking back upon all of God's dealings and looking forward to all the ways in which he deals. It's a sense in which the Lord is saying, you know, this is how I work and how I do things, and this doesn't change. On the one hand, there will be the secret things, and then there will be the revealed things. There'll be the hidden things and the things which shall be made known to the people of God. And that's really what I want to leave with you for the devotional thought today. Things secret and things revealed. And brethren and sisters, we should recognize that many things belong to God. Many things are in that camp or that category of being the secret things, the hidden things. They belong to the Lord himself. And that's the thought there with the idea of the secrets, the hidden things, the things which are not disclosed to us. Some things that we see working around us, manifest around us, but we don't know the reasons why. We don't understand why. And there are many things I could leave before you as ways of illustration. The day of our death, that belongs to God. He has the appointment for every single person. I know there'll be some that try to go against that and say, well, I could take my life and I can choose. No, that's not how it is. And with regard to the day of our death, this is a secret thing that belongs unto God. Our need is to be ready, to make sure that we are in Christ. And we might say more everyday things, the reasons for our trials. We accept that we are a tried people, but all of the mechanics of God, the thinking behind it, the workings, the providences, we have to truly say that these things, they belong unto the Lord our God. It's a healthy thing to do that, Christian, because we can't find answers for every little thing in our life. And there are some things where we just bow before omnipotence, we bow before the sovereign mind, and we say, O God our Father, these are the things which belong to you, and I submit to them. By way of illustration in the context, the setting was the sin of the people, the Lord dealing with them. It seemed like a sore response from God. when the anger was kindled, rooting them out of the land. This was evidently manifest and executed throughout the history of the people here in Israel. And you look over church history, you look at how God's dealings with all of his people. He works in these ways. And we don't have all the answers to it, and we shall never do that. So we say that in light of that, these things belong unto him. Let's recognize this. And when you recognize it and you submit to it, what a healthy place it is to be in. But then lastly, we can rejoice that many things are revealed to us. What a glad thought that is. I love the way the verse goes on in verse 29. But those things which are revealed, we might even say, if we slightly paraphrase this, the things that God is pleased to reveal to us, these things belong to us. There's a tremendous sense of possession, isn't there, in these words? They belong to us. The things that God has been so pleased and good to show us and bring across our pathway, oh, we're in possession of them. We're owners of these things. They belong to us. They're ours to feed upon, to sustain ourselves by, and not just for ourselves in some selfish manner. Oh, no. They belong to us, but they belong to our children forever, that we may do all the works of the law. There is a solemn obligation that in what God is pleased to give to us, that we act upon it and we handle these things. You might ask me what these things may be. Again, it's a broad spectrum. It's a large subject. Generally, theologians and Bible teachers will often deal with revelation in a twofold manner. Those things which are revealed in nature, that point us towards the very power and the Godhead of the Lord himself. For the heavens declare the glory of God, don't they? That's what the scripture says. It's day after day, the uttering forth of this speech. That belongs to us, for we see around us the creation. Although it's marred, although it's fallen, and although it's aching, it testifies of the glory of God. In that we rejoice, in that we treasure, and that we pass on to our children and to generations to come. We remind men and women that we are in our Father's world. And then we can say that Scripture more especially reveals the Lord to himself, knowing our fallen nature, how gracious God is in giving us the Scriptures, and what a book it is, what possessions we have in the Scriptures, what belongs to us in the Word of God. Oh, do we treasure it? The salvation that is revealed, the story of saving grace, the redemptive plan of God from ages past to present day and future years. These things, they belong to us and to our children. Are we teaching our children if we have them? Are we teaching generations to come that there may be an obedience, a fear of God, to do all the words of this law? May it be so. Let me pray. Oh, Father, we thank you in the Saviour's holy and precious name for the wonderful things that do belong unto us. And even though we cannot say that all things we understand, yet all things we leave in thy hands. We pray for those who still suffer, those who are struggling, those who are working in hospitals at this time. Give them all the necessary grace which they need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.